Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we got lots of information in store for you this hour. Plus, we invite you to call us. 888-302-3684 is our number. And it's been a big week in politics as we had yet another brouhaha, another brawling Republican debate. And so permit me to digress with a focus on politics, but not in the traditional way that you associate that with, but a nutritional perspective on one of the Republican candidates. Did Senator Ted Cruz just declare war on gluten-free soldiers? It kind of looks like that, according to a headline in celiac.com. Celiac disease, of course, is a form of extreme gluten intolerance. And there are literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of sufferers of gluten intolerance across the country. And it may just be that Ted Cruz just dissed an important potential constituency in an effort to show that he can be tough on American servicemen and women with celiac disease. The Republican presidential hopeful declared that in the event the American people find him suitable to become president and commander-in-chief, he's going to take a hard line. There will be no gluten-free MREs for soldiers anywhere under his command. He is taking a stand against political correctness and what might be termed the wussification of the American military under our current administration. And so he was saying the last thing any commander should need to worry about is the grades he's getting from some plush-bottom Pentagon bureaucrat for political correctness or social experiments or providing gluten-free MREs. MRE stands for Meals Ready to Eat. So he kind of contemptuously swept aside the concerns of millions of Americans who have either celiac disease or gluten intolerance. And so he's actually wrong on a couple of counts. And, you know, I don't take issue with his candidacy. I don't want to comment on the advantages of one candidate vis-a-vis another. This is a politically neutral feature. But he's wrong on this gluten-free MRE issue because Cynthia Smith, who is a spokesperson for the Department of Defense, says that the official policy is that you can't join the military if you require a gluten-free diet. And that is reassuring because in the old days of the draft, you know, during the Vietnam War, guys were going to Canada to evade the draft. Nowadays, all you have to do is say, I need a gluten-free diet. And then you're exempt. You don't have to shoot yourself in the foot to avoid the draft. According to Department of Defense, a person with celiac disease and or gluten intolerance or sensitivity would not be eligible for entry into the military. So people who are accepted in the military must be, quote, qualified, effective, and able-bodied persons capable of successfully performing military duties. All military members must be available for worldwide duty without restriction or delay, and therefore gluten intolerance exempts you. But there's an interesting story about a guy named Donald Andrasik, who's a captain in the Army National Guard, who was deployed in 2011 to Kandahar Airfield in Afghanistan. That's a hot zone. He's a guy who really suffers from celiac disease, and he's toughing it out in Afghanistan. He wrote a book called Gluten-Free in Afghanistan, which was released last year. This is a story of his trials and tribulations as a sufferer of celiac disease. And he says it ain't easy. It ain't easy. He's had to have gluten-free flour shipped in. And he enlisted the help of a local pizza joint in Kandahar to prepare a gluten-free pizza for himself. And at times, he had some real rough patches He lost nearly 40 pounds in the year he was deployed, about 20% of his 178-pound starting weight. He had a lot of obstacles. He was offered gluten-free oatmeal that he thinks didn't really meet the specifications, had cross-contamination sufficient enough to make him ill. It was not so much the rockets that were fired at his base in Kandahar that was upsetting his stomach during the time that he was there. So you want to drill down on that story in light of the Ted Cruz comments. There's actually a book about the experience of a intrepid GI who tried to make it, living gluten-free in Afghanistan. Gluten-free in Afghanistan is the title of the book. 888-302-3684 is our number. Let's take some phone calls. Let's talk to Susan in Queens, New York. How are you doing?
Fine, Dr. Hoffman. I'm a longtime listener.
Thank you.
Just wanted to ask you a question. What has your experience been with the type 2 diabetes medication metformin? Because last night, Channel 2 had an expose on it, mm-hmm. and they were calling it the fountain of youth. And that people who took this drug, mm-hmm. metformin, could possibly live to be as old as 120 with less cancer and less heart disease. Mm-hmm. And I know in the old days when people used to take oral medications for type 2 diabetes, there were side effects. And I don't know if it's the same drug or not, but a lot of them developed strokes. So I just want your opinion.
Okay, so great question. You know, this is actually the oldest or one of the oldest medications on the market for type 2 diabetes. And there's a lot of new medications, and, you know, sometimes you see advertisements on TV for the new medications that lower your blood sugar, but they may cause you to have elevated cholesterol, they may cause yeast infections in men and women, you know, on and on. The side effects go on for a minute and a half. And so metformin has kind of a checkered history in terms of its acceptance as a diabetes medication. It was initially introduced, you know, well before I was in my medical training, then was banned for a while because in certain very sick individuals, it can cause lactic acidosis. It can be very dangerous. So they actually banned it for a while, and then they reconsidered. That's unusual. Once they ban a drug, they don't usually reintroduce it. And then they brought it back online, and they said it turns out that it's actually one of the safest, gentlest, and most effective medication for diabetes. It has the benefits of it generally doesn't lower your blood sugar excessively. It doesn't make you gain weight. In fact, it may help you to lose weight. We even sometimes use metformin in people who don't have full-blown diabetes, but just metabolic syndrome, and we use it to help them optimize their weight and jumpstart their efforts to lose weight and improve their diets. Now comes information that suggests that metformin may reduce the risk of certain cancers and may increase longevity. And what that has to do with, it has to do with its effect on insulin. It helps the body ultimately reduce the overproduction of insulin. Excess insulin may drive certain cancers, in particular breast cancer and prostate cancer, that's well known, perhaps many other cancers. That's the sugar theory of diabetes, that sugar promotes cancer. And there's also some suggestion that it may protect the telomeres, which are the genetic programming for aging. And, you know, it went from pariah to miracle drug. And now there are people who are taking, they're perfectly fine, and they want to take metformin as a life extension method. I think that that's probably over the top. And, you know, these lurid TV news features are, you know, trying to grab your eyeballs. But I think as a diabetes medication, it's actually the only one that I tend to use with patients who need diabetes medication. So
what C1A number would you start somebody at then?
It depends. I mean, certainly, you know, people with a hemoglobin A1A of 6.2 or above, you know, generally what I'd like to do is I'd like to try diet first. And I think that many patients really respond well to a low-carbohydrate diet, to some exercise, to taking chromium and vanadium and alpha-lipoic acid, magnesium, vitamin D. These are some of the things that really help blood sugar control. But there's some people who are a little too far gone, and they need some additional help. And I don't mind giving them the metformin because now we know that instead of harmful side effects, it actually has side benefits. While helping to control blood sugar, it may even help to fend off cancer. And potentially, I don't know if it's entirely clear that it's going to extend life, but there's some intriguing information out there about that.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for that good call. Just to keep in mind that if you take metformin, there is one particular nutritional interaction with metformin. Metformin tends to interfere with vitamin B12. So if you're taking metformin, you need to take some additional B12. Make sure that you do that because you can actually become depleted, and that's not going to extend your life. 888-302-3684. That's our number. We invite your phone calls on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works.
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. You can call us at 888-302-3684, or if you can't get through, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. We won't deliver a written response to every inquiry, but we will use your questions as grist for the mill for our weekly feature, Q&A with Layla. So send us your questions and listen to our podcasts, and eventually your question is likely to show up on our weekly question and answer session, Q&A with Layla. All right, details are finally emerging about the untimely death of Justice Antonin Scalia. And it took a while for the doctor who was undertaking the care of Justice Scalia to file a report on his underlying medical conditions. But he actually had numerous health problems that put him at risk, including heart disease, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Now, the conspiracy theorists still will maintain that he was bumped off. But we have good reason to believe that he was at high risk. And there's an additional detail that's emerged that suggests that Justice Scalia was suffering from a common problem that puts tens of millions of Americans at high risk for sudden death. Scalia was one of an estimated 22 million Americans who have sleep apnea. That's a potentially life-threatening condition where the airway is impaired and people have frequent breathing pauses that cause them to deoxygenate at night. And that, combined with blockage of the coronary arteries, is a very dangerous situation for the heart and for the brain. It can cause someone to stop breathing up to hundreds of times each night. And how do we know that he has sleep apnea? Well, from his medical records, but also from the fact that he had a CPAP machine on the nightstand next to him, but it was unplugged and it wasn't turned on. So when he went back to his room to lie down, either he was in so much distress that he didn't have the wherewithal to turn on his CPAP machine if he was going to take a planned nap, or else he just forgot to turn it on, and perhaps during that nap, a bout of breathlessness may have caused sufficient ischemia or lack of circulation to his heart, lack of oxygenation, that was the coup de grace that did him in. It's unclear which came first. But nonetheless, it points out that sleep apnea is a big risk for death. It's very much associated with overweight. It also causes high levels of cortisol, which increase inflammation, and that's not good for your coronary arteries. And it's a vicious cycle of overweight, increased appetite, because if you don't sleep deeply, you'll crave carbohydrates more, and your appetite will increase. And high correlation between sleep apnea and metabolic syndrome or diabetes. We know that he had type 2 diabetes, and just an example of kind of a downward path that can put someone at high risk for death. All right, 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Christine. Welcome.
Dr. Hoffman, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a question about certain shampoo. I went through treatment for breast cancer with chemotherapy and the usual conventional stuff, and it's left me with very fine, thin, slow-growing hair because of it.
Yeah.
And I'm a few years out, so I thought by now any adjustments would have been made and I'd get my hair back the way it was before.
But it's not growing back.
But it's not coming back the way it used to be. And yeah. I have heard of DHT blockers with certain shampoos. And mm-hmm. I purchased one. It's an organic one. And I wonder what your opinion is of them and its use and its efficacy.
Okay. So let me comment on that. I want to give you full time to answer that question. What about DHT blockers in shampoo for women who've had breast cancer? We'll answer that question in just a moment on Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick. Yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, Kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with four key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Huffman with you. 888-302-3684, a number. And Christine just posed a question, very interesting question. Thank you, Christine, from Hyde Park, New York, about the use of an organic shampoo with something called DHT blockers in it to help regrow hair. And a complicating factor is that you've had breast cancer, so you're concerned about maybe the hormonal effect of these DHT blockers. Does that pretty much sum it up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I just took the liberty of looking up one of these popular DHT blockers. I don't know if that's one you're taking, but they're probably, you know, more or less similar. First of all, what's a DHT blocker? DHT is dehydrotestosterone. It's the so-called bad testosterone that is responsible for hair loss, and that may also be responsible for prostatic enlargers. So there are medications like Propecia or finasteride, the original prescription DHT blocker, which has the benefit of shrinking the prostate. And then they discovered that, oh, by the way, the guys who were taking that didn't go bald as fast, and they had some hair regrowth. So natural product manufacturers got on board with this and said, oh, great, well, maybe we can develop natural DHT blockers. Then you don't have to get a doctor's prescription. You don't have to go through the expense of buying a drug. And you can just pick up something over the counter, and you can take a DHT blocker. Some of the natural DHT blockers I see in this particular hair growth product, it's called Hair Omega DHT. I don't know if that's what you're taking. It contains saw palmetto, plant sterol complex, Pygium africanum, and a bunch of other herbs. And so the question is, I think, first of all, is whether this thing is, you know, really effective, whether it's really going to make your hair grow. And the answer is, I think it's kind of dubious, because it's a far cry from Propecia, which is the baldness drug that works actually better in men than in women. The type of hair loss that you may have experienced is due to damage because of chemotherapy and not due to too much in the way of male hormones. So even if you were to take Propecia, which women can't take if they're of reproductive age because it can cause devastating birth defects, but if that's not a question, sometimes dermatologists will prescribe Propecia to women to see if that's going to help their hair growth. So even if you were to take the powerful drug, it's not clear that the DHT blocker would help your hair grow. That's number one. Number two, does it have a consequence in terms of your risk of breast cancer? Well, no. Something that might have a consequence would be something that would dramatically raise your estrogen, and that's not what DHT blockers do. They actually reduce your level of testosterone, and that may actually be to the good in terms of breast cancer prevention, not harmful, I'll share with you something also encouraging for women who've had breast cancer. Women who've had breast cancer are just very, very concerned, like you are, Christine, that they might introduce any kind of hormone into their body which could cause their breast cancer to come back. But they recently did a trial in women who've had breast cancer, and they were, you know, had a nice long period of survival without recurrence. And many women who've had breast cancer, they're menopausal, or they may have had hormonal treatments that cause them to have extreme vaginal dryness that makes sex really unbearable. So the question is whether they can take some estrogen cream. You know, it's estrogen. Could that cause the cancer to come back? And they did a trial of that recently, looking at the use of estrogen cream, Premarin cream, vaginally, to see if the amount of estrogen that was in that cream could make the breast cancer come back. And the answer was, it was safe. It did not cause a higher risk of breast cancer recurrence. So I think you can't, like, number one, you can take this shampoo. It's okay. But then, you know, my concern is, you know, is it really going to make your hair grow? I think it's kind of unlikely that it's going to have a major impact on your hair regrowth. Does that help you answer?
It helps me with the question? It's unfortunate, but it's helpful. Yeah.
So no danger, but maybe not a lot of upside is the bottom line. Okay?
Boost that.
All right. So let me share with you something interesting, which is, you know, like in a restaurant, sometimes they like to create a mood, you know, like out of a romantic mood. They turn the lights down low, and you can have a romantic dinner. And, of course, a big problem, people have to take flashlights to the restaurant to read the menu. But it turns out that that may be an effective strategy to help you lose weight, according to scientists. Volunteers ate nearly 10% less ice cream when blindfolded, and they believed that they had eaten far more. Turning the lights out or wearing a blindfold while eating could be an excellent diet strategy. Could provide a quick way to lose weight, according to scientists. The simple trick works, they say, because it stops diners eating for pleasure rather than for calories. And it also seems to trigger a cautionary part of the brain that's worried that unseen food may be rotten without visual clues to show it's fresh. So it's in the dark. You don't know what you're eating. So maybe just a little bit apprehensive about the food intake. So turn down the lights to help you turn down the caloric intake. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman answering your questions. And we've got Olga from New Jersey. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Doctor? Actually read an article that you wrote about Hillary Clinton using armothyroid.
Yeah.
And you said those were two really old medications, and you wouldn't necessarily recommend armothyroid for an elderly person because of the
I don't actually suggest that. I was just commenting on Hillary Clinton's medical situation, which is in some ways a little bit more precarious than the press generally reports. I think she's sort of getting a pass on her medical situation because she is taking a blood thinner, and she does have hypothyroidism. And armothyroid is a medication that's a little bit unconventional for people over the age of 65, and she's 68, I believe. And you have to be careful when you use armothyroid. Now, I have a fair number of patients who are over 65 who I'm giving armothyroid to. But it's a little bit tricky, requires a great deal of experience in terms of monitoring it, because it can put patients who are older at higher risk for palpitations or even atrial fibrillation. And also, there is an interesting kind of relationship between armothyroid and or thyroid conditions in general and one's susceptibility to blood clots. Hypothyroid patients are more susceptible to blood clots, and it's good that she's getting her condition treated. But it's kind of like a Goldilocks situation. Too much, too little, or just right. And the window of effectiveness and safety for armothyroid is a little bit narrower than if she were taking a more conventional thyroid medication. So that's all I'm saying there. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I really like armothyroid. I'm not saying that it's a bad drug or that older people should never get it. But it is worthy to note that it's the official position of Medicare that patients over 65 should not be on armothyroid. And so she's kind of going against that advice in selecting armothyroid as a way of treating her condition. So that's all I'm saying.
As far as armothyroid and somebody over the age of 65 and taking something with somebody with COPD or asthma, would there be any contraindication on that?
Only insofar as if you have COPD or asthma, you're at higher risk for heart problems. Your heart might be affected by the COPD, and you just have to be more careful when you're using the Armour thyroid. That's all I'm saying. You got to be in the hands of an experienced physician who knows what they're doing.
You well, can't if you had your blood on. Monitored every 3 months or 6 months, would you probably, that would be good?
At the very least, but also you need to make sure that you're not your heart isn't racing, that you report to your doctor if you're having symptoms of palpitations. And also, when it comes to Coumadin, that's another drug that needs to be monitored very frequently because, you know, changes in diet or changes in health status can change your requirements for Coumadin. And you can either be over anticoagulated, which could result in bleeding, and you could be under anticoagulated, which could result in blood clots. So, you know, I'm commenting more in that article where I was interviewed on the state of the health of a presidential candidate. So, you know, the general report on Hillary Clinton is that she's in fabulous health and everything's hunky-dory. Well, no, actually, not that she's, you know, have some sort of dire medical condition, but she is, you know, she has some issues, and I think that those issues need to be fully divulged. Okay? Thanks for your call. Let's talk to Elizabeth in Easton, Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Hi. Are you
there? Hi, Elizabeth. Yes,
Hi.
I am.
Okay, I'm quite healthy and I'm quite old, thanks to you. And I want to know what your opinion is on amino acids. Can they help? Can they harm?
Okay.
What's your recommendation?
First of all, I'd like to hear from you what you construe as quite old. What's your definition of quite old?
I'm 87.
Oh, you're a youngster. Come on.
I feel young. I don't feel
good.
Old. When people ask me my age, I have to stop and think.
These days you have an excellent chance of becoming a centenarian. So, you know, you're likely to do fine for quite a long time. All right, so let's talk about amino acids for older people. Certain amino acids appear to be helpful for older individuals, particularly when it comes to something called sarcopenia. Sarcopenia is the loss of muscle mass that is an inevitable consequence of aging. As you age, for every decade after the age of 50, you generally lose about 10% of your muscle mass. Now, you can stave that off to some extent with physical exercise and strength training, which I believe should be lifelong. Just because you're 87 doesn't mean you can't do some modest strength training. It also can be staved off by providing the building blocks for muscle. And the particularly crucial ones are what are called the branch chain amino acids, BCAAs. Branch chain amino acids have been shown, when given to older individuals, to help preserve muscle mass. So you can take them as a supplement. They're actually, offered as bodybuilding supplements for younger people. I think they make more difference for older individuals than they do for youngsters who probably, would have pretty good muscle mass, as long as they eat a decent diet. Older individuals may have decreases in their stomach acid production, their digestion and absorption, and they may need supplements of branched-chain amino acids. And one in particular called leucine, L-E-U-C-I-N-E, has been associated with protection against sarcopenia. And there's another component to maintaining muscle mass, and that's hormonal. And as you get older, men decline in their testosterone, women decline in their testosterone and in their estrogen, and that also contributes to loss of muscle mass. So we don't want to jazz you up with massive amounts of testosterone. You know, you start having a deep voice and, facial acne. We don't want to see that happen in our seniors. But we can give a little bit of DHEA to both older men and older women, and that, too, can help to stave off sarcopenia. I recommend that you don't do this on your own, that you do this in conjunction with a nutritionally-oriented physician who can measure your DHEA, suggest the right amount for you to take, and then monitor it, make sure you're not going overboard with it or undershooting the mark. But generally, 5, 10, as much as 20 milligrams of DHEA is well tolerated by older women. For men, the dosage might be higher, 25 or 50. So those are some ways that you can stave off the muscle mass that might cause you to become fragile. You know, fragility is a risk factor as you age. And just as obesity is a risk factor, This loss of muscle mass also takes a toll and can put you at risk for health problems and falls and fractures. All right?
That's fine. You mentioned leucine several years ago, and I've been taking that. But
well,
I also know, I know there are other amino acids that I only weigh 100 pounds, but I am very active and I'm quite strong. But I want to stay that way. And,
right,
and
so,
I didn't know whether to take all of the aminos or just continue with the leucine or what I should do.
Well, so you can take a broad-spectrum amino acid supplement, which has all the essential amino acids. But actually, the three key ones you want to take are the branched-chain amino acids. So those are the ones that make a difference. And you can get them under the rubric of BCAAs, or branched-chain amino acids. Those are probably available in various formulations via a health food store or a nutritionally-oriented pharmacy. So that would be helpful. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Is there that? Well, I will mention that, you know, since you ask, I will mention that there is a downside. If you suffer from severe kidney problems, say you've been told you're on your way to kidney failure, that's a situation, a unique situation, where you have to avoid excess burden of protein and amino acids. But since that's not the case with you, you probably can tolerate modest doses of the branched chain aminos. Okay? So give it a shot and stay well. You sound like you're doing great. And thanks for attributing your health and longevity to me. I think that you're doing a lot of heavy lifting yourself. All right, let's talk now to Micah from New Jersey. How you doing?
Good. Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Is it Micah or
here?
Mika? Is it, you know, because I know there's
Micah.
A Mika Brzezinski, but you're
right.
Micah, right.
I'm Micah, right. Yes, I have been very thankful to you in the past for your information, which is very hard to find, but very helpful for me on your
Good.
Website years ago.
Yep.
And on the MVP situation. So I've been following a lot of that. Now I've been on a pacemaker for since about 2005, mm-hmm. and recently have had my annual echo, which, according to my cardiologist, shows that I have a 37%, what do they call it, fraction?
Ejection fraction,
right,
mm-hmm.
which he claims will now qualify me to go in cardiac rehab. Be admitted
okay.
to a program at the hospital. Okay. So when I got my RX for that, it listed congestive heart failure as one of the reasons mm-hmm. I'm going in. So that was a surprise to me, and I wanted
right.
to know an overview of what I can look at or how I should piece it all together.
Sure. Let me explain what's happening. First of all, you went in a pacemaker. That means that your heart was slowing down too much, and you needed a boost electronically to make your heart pace at a normal rhythm. Okay, that's one problem. But when the echo was performed, it showed a somewhat of a decline in your ejection fraction. Now, ejection fraction means the amount of blood that's expelled from your heart, where 100% would mean that, you know, all the blood that goes in is immediately expelled. Nobody has 100% ejection fraction, but a healthy person may have an ejection fraction of 70%, 60-something percent would be normal. As your heart weakens, your ejection fraction drops, and you have now crossed the threshold where maybe unbeknownst to you, I don't know if you're experiencing breathlessness or swelling of the ankles, these would be symptoms of congestive heart failure. But maybe you're just not experiencing any of those symptoms. But per the test, officially you've crossed the threshold into mild congestive heart failure. So you qualify for some sort of rehab training, which is great because it's a structured way in which you can train your heart. I mean, you could do this independently through your own exercise efforts, but guided exercise will help you increase your heart capacity or maintain it. Other things that are going to help with congestive heart failure, and, you know, if you follow our podcasts, and if you read the stuff on our website, you know about these things, coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol. And the secret with congestive heart failure is that, you know, the ordinary amount where you take maybe 50 or 100 of CoQ10 a couple of times a day, that may not be enough to boost your ejection fraction. You may actually have to go to a more potent form of CoQ10 called ubiquinol and take 200, 400, even 600 or 800 milligrams a day. can be a little pricey, but it's a good investment because we see dramatic improvements in ejection fraction with ubiquinol. That's a more bioavailable or potent form of CoQ10. Also, you might want to take magnesium, L-carnitine. These are some things that boost heart function, and our resident integrative cardiologist, Dr. Stephen Sinatra, who we do a lot of podcasts with, recommends D-ribose. D-ribose is something that helps to energize the heart and promotes the pumping action and can also help you maintain or increase ejection fraction. So there you have it. Those are some strategies you can use. Throw some fish oil into the mix, and you're likely to maintain your ejection fraction above the point where you have subjective symptoms of breathlessness or inability to walk long distances. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.